Hello everyone, my name is Timmy Lane.
And I am Verena.
And welcome to the Learning Technology Coach Podcast.
In Series 3, we delve into the world of artificial intelligence.
Its role in post-secondary education.
How it's being implemented into the learning space.
Plus, a whole lot more. Welcome to another episode of the Learning Technology Coach Podcast. With me in the Media Services Production Studio of the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning is my amazing co-host, Verena. Hello, Verena.
Hello, Timmy Lane. Thank you so much. It's good to be back in the studio with you today. Timmy Lane, let's be honest. Writing is hard. It's something that takes a lot of practice and can be particularly challenging when you're just starting out.
That's right. I used to think that I loved writing until I started writing in graduate school. However, there are many resources out there that can help students succeed in their writing. For example, Memorial University's Writing Center assists students in their writing by reviewing grammar or by helping organize scientific papers.
That's right. It's great to know that you're not alone and can get support in this challenging but important task. Of course, artificial intelligence has found its way into academic writing as well. In this episode, we want to explore the potential implications of this.
And we are excited to let you know that we interviewed the manager of Memorial University's Writing Center, who shared our experience regarding student writing and the use of AI with us. Every student and teacher should listen to this, enjoy, and learn. Welcome back to the studio. Writing is an essential part of completing a degree, and since we've been exploring how generative artificial intelligence tools can make or mar students' creativity, we would like to discuss how AI impacts student writing today.
Yeah, absolutely. We have witnessed the rise of many generative AI technologies that students can leverage to improve their writing skills. It is also important, though, to mention that these tools shouldn't be used without critically assessing their output.
That's very true, Verena. These tools are good and they have come to stay. Always know that you are in charge of your work, though. You are the one in control of these tools. Don't let them control you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the reason we are inviting somebody today that works with students to come tell us about what her observations have been since generative AI tools have become more accessible to students.
Yes, we have the manager of the Writing Center of the Memorial University, Caroline Best, with us today, and we're excited to learn from her experience. Verena, please introduce our special guest to our listeners.
Yeah, gladly, Timmy Lane. Caroline is the manager of the Writing Center at Memorial University. She holds a Master of Arts degree in Applied Language Studies, and her work has taken her to places like Germany and Ottawa before returning to Memorial University in Newfoundland. She has extensive teaching experience and has used her training to teach academic writing for second language students before taking on a more administrative position in the area of English as a second language. Caroline, schön, dass du da bist.
Danke.
Well, her German is impeccable. I can hear that. Timmy Lane, would you like to get us started?
Right. I mean, I heard the word danke, and that means thank you if I'm correct.
Absolutely. Yes, you're good.
Interesting. So, Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, I learned that you are the manager of the Writing Center, and I know that the Writing Center is a sub-department of the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning at Memorial University. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us how these two, I mean, even though Writing Center is a sub-department, how do they connect, and what do you do at the Writing Center? What programs do you offer students, and what's your role? What do you do specifically?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are one of the student services at the university, so we fit very well into CITL in that respect, because we also have other units in CITL, like the Academic Success Center. So both of our units work with students in different areas of their academics. So if we look at the Writing Center, we help all of the graduates and undergraduates at the university. They can come to us from any discipline. They can come at any stage of the writing. Actually, they don't even have to have anything written. They can come before they even start writing to do some brainstorming, get some clarification on what they're, on what their instructors are looking for. So we offer one-on-one sessions that they can come in and sit down with our tutors. We also have online services as well, so the students can send in their papers and then they receive written feedback from our tutors. And for those who can't make it to campus very easily but want to kind of speak one-on-one with a tutor, we can also offer sessions through WebEx as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And now that I'm wrapping up my dissertation, I wish I had known about you sooner. But here we are. I was wondering, Carolyn, if you've noticed any changes in the way that students write or go about their writing since the rise of tools such as ChatGPT, for example.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly in talking with our tutors over the time, I guess starting kind of back in the winter semester when ChatGPT was kind of taking over a lot of discussions, we sat down with the tutors to find out kind of what they were hearing, what they were seeing. And they were certainly saying that students were coming into the Writing Center, you know, with some things that they used or that they got from ChatGPT and other AI tools. And it was interesting because the tutors, they're kind of in between, I would say, the instructors and the students. So they're all students themselves because they're peer tutors, but they know that you can't depend completely on AI. So they, when they're speaking with the students about using it, they do try to tell the students, you know, you've got to be careful with the information that you're getting. You've got to make sure you're doing your fact checking. If we look at tools like ChatGPT, you have to make sure that the citations that it's giving you are correct and all those little things that maybe a lot of students are not always aware of. And they also, they also try to instill, I guess, in the students the idea that because you're putting information into ChatGPT, it may not be your own after. So they want to really think about the terms of use when it comes to using these kinds of tools. You know, do the tools take your information and then archive it somehow so that other people will have access to it later? So all those kinds of things we're trying to put together for the students, but also for our tutors, because as I said, their tutors are their students as well.
Interesting. So I'm very happy to hear that from you, that you are considering doing a lot of things for students. And that will take us to the next question. I have two-part question for you with regards to that. So the first one is, I mean, you've basically touched on it a little bit. What are the implications of using these tools?
Yeah, it can be, I guess it really depends on what the students are using them for and, you know, what courses they're using them for as well. I mean, there are definite, you know, things that students have to be really careful with. So, for example, if they're just asking one of these tools to write an essay for them, the students may not realize that the information that is in there could be incorrect if they're not doing their fact checking. And they could also be just kind of surface level information. You know, they're not really delving deeper into the information and that they could be putting into their paragraphs and into their essays. You know, they may not be focusing really on the critical reading that goes along with this kind of these kinds of tools, and also just academics in general. So there are lots of little things like that that I think students sometimes don't take into consideration when they're using these things. But I think that there are ways of turning the cons into our benefits when we're working with students.
Nice. So you mentioned that the peer tutors, they came back with some feedback that, you know, they observe that students come up with essays that have been generated through these AI tools. So apart from what the tutors are doing for the students, they are students themselves, what they are doing for their peers, as a body, as a unit, as a department, what is the Writing Center doing? Exactly.
So what we're trying to do, we're actually in the process of doing it right now. So I believe that with a lot of these things, education is really the key. So I think that we need to educate ourselves more in what's happening in this new world, the up and coming new world, I guess, of some of the generative AI, because it has been around for quite a while. So what we're trying to do is to put together some sessions and some documents for our tutors so that they have a better background and so that they are better able to speak with the students when they come in, so they feel more confident talking about this. I think part of the problem right now is that not many people are experts in this area. So we're all kind of coming at it from our own points of view, you know. So once we feel that our tutors are educated and that they feel confident with that, then they'll be more confident in explaining it to the students as well. And that way we'll be able to put together documents for the students that they'll be able to take away with them that may be something that maybe they haven't gotten in classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we can highlight that we're all still learning about this, and AI is rapidly evolving. Almost daily, there are new changes and developments that we need to keep up with. So I just want to ask, because you mentioned that, you know, we can turn potential drawbacks or cons of AI into positives and into, you know, good things or into a helpful tool. So what do you think would be the benefits of AI specifically in writing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that there are so many things that you can actually do with some of these tools. So, for example, if we're thinking about a classroom, maybe the professor is seeing that the introductions are not very strong in the class from the essays that they're receiving from the students. So I think that's a great way to use these AI tools to your advantage. Have the tools produce something and then have the students work through it. Is this a good introduction? Is it not a good introduction? What could we add to it? What do we need to take away? So instead of, you know, trying to avoid using these tools, bring them into the classroom and show them, you know, what can be useful for the students and how they can actually use them in a better way.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea. But as a follow-up question, I'm wondering, what do you think does it do to creativity? You know, if we're taking an introduction and we're just putting it into ChatGPT and then, you know, we want to assess, is it a good or a bad introduction? But we've never actually produced a good introduction ourselves. How are we supposed to know what's good, what's bad?
Mm-hmm. Well, this, I guess, kind of goes along with education when we're talking about modeling and scaffolding. So in education, very often we'll give the students a model of something so that they can see how it's used and how you can put something together. So by giving students different examples of good introductions or thesis statements or whatever, the students will start to get a better idea of what is possible. I think sometimes when we're just asking students to write a thesis statement, they're only getting feedback on that thesis statement or on that particular introduction that they wrote. But by seeing different ones from different areas and from different disciplines, perhaps they might get a better idea of how to write better ones.
Yeah, I love the fact that you talked about what professors can do, especially comparing introductions and, you know, trying to look at which one is more quality. But what other things do you think instructors can do? Do they need a total curricular revamping? Do they need to adopt new strategies for teaching? Do they need to, you know, adopt new methods? What do you think instructors can do?
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, as many people say, this is not going away. And it's been around for a long, long time. So I think we just have to get used to it being here and staying and, you know, eventually turning into other things as well. So it is going to be a bit of a learning process. And I think for instructors, because this has become quite a loud conversation now using these in these kinds of tools in education, I think, you know, the instructors are going to have to find ways to work with these tools. In my opinion, I think it's better to work with them instead of telling students not to use them at all, because it's a better learning situation for them. So I think that, you know, instructors might have to look at maybe changing their assignments, for example. Instead of having the students perhaps write an essay on something, they may have to make sure that it's maybe a very recent type of thing that they can write about. ChatGPT, I think, only goes up to about 2021 with the data that it has so far. So if they can find prompts that they can use that maybe came after 2021, for example, they might want to print something out from one of these tools, give it to the students, and to kind of test and see, are the students understanding the kinds of things that are going on in the field? So they can try to find other information that they can maybe add to this printout to see if they can add other things as well. So I think that there are a lot of different ways, and I think that's kind of the fun part of it all, is that I think there are a lot of different things that can be done in the classroom. But I think, too, for the professors and for any instructor, it will come back to education as well. So trying to get more education themselves, maybe attending sessions to find out how they can use these. And I know that there is some research out there and other documents out there that have different kinds of assignments that student or that instructors can give to their students using AI.
Yeah, I like the fact that you are being inclusive about education, that not just for students, mm-hmm. instructors should also get educated about it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to jump in now to say that the CITL, Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning, has a lot of info sessions for instructors, for professors to come in and learn new things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. Carolyn, I have a question that ties more into academic integrity, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, ChatGPT, if we stay with ChatGPT, is often thought to be a tool for cheating. You know, students can just create a whole essay in it if they wish. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Mon has a license for Grammarly, which now also uses AI software to help improve students' writing. And I'm wondering, where do we draw the line? So what do we consider a student's own work versus something that's generated by AI? You know, with Grammarly, you could essentially also change the whole text that you've written. Mm-hmm. Do you have any opinion on that?
Yeah, I would say that it's really quite hard to tell right now. We've been looking at some of the position statements at different universities, and I don't think that anybody right now is 100% sure about what is considered plagiarism or not. So it's kind of a gray area right now. I think the main thing to know, or the main thing to remember, is that as long as we're trying to help the students do the best that they can without relying too much on these tools, so that they're getting the best education that they can and also learning how to critically think and write and read, I think that's the best that we can do. So, you know, there may be a little bit of scaffolding going along trying to use these types of tools. I mean, I have read articles where it says, you know, even if a student does ask one of the tools to write an essay for them, it's not really considered plagiarism because it's not in a place that they can access that again. So it's, you know, new material when it's coming up. So it's really hard to say right now, but I think that a lot of professors are looking at that part as well. And so they're either saying in their course outlines, you can use it, you can't use it, or you have to try to reference it somehow. And I think that by referencing it, at least the students will be acknowledging that they've gotten it from somewhere else. So even if they are using it, if they can acknowledge it, at least then they're, you know, they are being honest in where they got the material.
Interesting. So at this point, do we just say AI is the bad guy? Don't go near it? Or, well, there are smart ways of using it. Or, well, it's left to you. Judgment issue, you know, just do it as you deem fit, that you think it's okay. So if I were a student and I came to your office and I say, I really find it hard to write. Mm-hmm. I know my topic. I was given a topic in my class. I really want to use AI to generate the essay, but I don't know. I just want to check with you because you are the manager of the Writing Center. What would your advice be?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I would advise the students to look at their course outlines to say what the instructors have actually said about that. And one of my biggest pieces of advice, I think, is to always have a human look at your writing or any work that you're doing. So, you know, we can rely on these tools to help us along the way, you know, and even if we look at Grammarly, for example, Grammarly is a great tool. You know, it really does help with writing, but Grammarly's not always correct either. So we have to look at those. You know, we have to be careful when we're using these tools. So I always tell students, always make sure that a human looks at your writing last. Okay. So I think that, you know, that's what I would recommend. And then for the instructors, if they need help, you know, I think bigger discussions are coming. And as you mentioned, through CITL, there are going to be sessions and that kind of thing so that they can try to figure out how they feel about it. I think at the moment, right now, since it's fairly newish, let's say, in the classrooms, when we're looking at tools like ChatGPT and those kinds, there's a little bit of apprehension there. And so the instructors, some are just not sure where to go with that. So I think the more that they learn about it as well, the more comfortable they'll feel with using it and then maybe be able to incorporate it into their classrooms. And then they'll feel more confident giving answers to their students about questions like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think we've learned so much from you today, and any student and instructor listening to this podcast, I'm sure they will be able to better assess how they can use AI tools in their writing, if at all. It's really up to your own judgment and whether to, you know, whether you can learn to critically assess the output, but we always need a human to look over it. Mm-hmm. Wow, that was so interesting. I think we've learned a lot today. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We hope to see you again.
Thanks.
Welcome back to the studio. Well, that was an insightful interview. It was really inspiring and so interesting. Timeline, what do you think?
I think it was a great one. Our guests was cool like a cucumber.
Okay, you'll have to tell me later what that is. But can you tell me, what's your big learning moment?
Well, there are lots of things to take away from that interview. But what I really like the most is the fact that the tutors at the writing center are students themselves. So they know a lot about the use of AI in writing, and they could easily spot it when students submit essays to them. And then the students don't really have to submit their essays to higher authorities, so they can feel comfortable sharing their vulnerabilities and be truly honest about what they've done in their essays. And the fact that these students are being offered professional development to get enhanced skills, just like the Learning Technology Coach program, which is like a student development program. So I really love it.
Thank you, Tim Elaine. That was amazing. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next time, I'm Verena.
And I am Tim Elaine.
Ciao.
Bye.
The Learning Technology Coach podcast is a CITL production.